Hello everyone and welcome to Personalities at Carey, your very own WB Carey MBA podcast. We are on episode 66 and today we are chatting with Jacob Green. Jacob is a military man and he is here concentrating in supply chain and business analytics. He had a pretty unique experience over the summer of 2018 when he was interning. Here to tell you more about himself is Jacob Green. Hello everyone, welcome to episode number 66 of Personalities at Carey, and today we have with us Jacob Green.
Hello.
Hey Jacob, say hi to everyone. You're already saying hello.
Hi everyone.
You don't need to use your radio voice, you just...
My radio voice?
Yeah. He's like, hi everyone.
Oh jeez, I'm sorry. I thought it just was a tenor naturally.
That's fine. Alright, so let me get started with our first question, which is always... Tell us about yourself, where you come from, what you've done so far, and what brought you to the WB Carey MBA.
Okay, all right. So I originally come from Las Vegas, Nevada. I was born and raised there. And I went to school at Syracuse University, where I did 4 years of study as a English textual studies major. Mm. Yeah, did a lot of deep reading there. After graduating, I commissioned into the United States Army as a second lieutenant, armor officer. And after a brief stint of training in the South, I had my first duty station up in Fort Drum, New York, where I did my only two deployments, both to Afghanistan. And then moved to Fort Bliss, Texas. Don't know if anyone knows where that is, but it's as far west in Texas as you can go. It's pretty much New Mexico.
Okay.
But that's where I did my company command. So I had about 2 years as a tank company commander. And then after that, I came here to WB Carey.
All right. What made you decide to go get an MBA?
So I, ever since graduating college, I knew I would want to get some sort of a graduate degree. I was still kind of in flux. There's points in time in my military career where I might have wanted to become a foreign area officer. And if I were to do that, I'd have to get a more kind of international studies type focus. But it was actually in Georgia when I was at the Captain's Career Course. One of my buddies who was going to be getting out soon was talking about his MBA. I think he was accepted to Dartmouth at the time. But he was just talking about the kind of laurels and the applicability of the MBA, and it just started making me really think and about pursuing that. And I just realized that there's probably a lot of civilian real-world practices and habits that I could bring back into the military and try and make it a little more effective and a little more efficient. So that's what motivated me.
So when you came here, did you have certain expectations out of the MBA, something that has exceeded expectations once you've been here?
I was scared to death when I came here. I mean, typically when you think of MBAs, I mean, you think of people who are very airy type personality, very top of their class, especially for a pretty prominent program such as WB Carey. And I, to be honest, I did not do well in my undergrad. And not only that, but I have actually really no previous experience in any sort of statistics or math. I always see that as kind of my weakness. So I saw this as a challenge to kind of prove to myself to see if I had the ability to perform highly. And I did take a lot of efforts to try and better myself before the program started. And it was definitely a little overwhelming for the first quarter and a half to two quarters. But then after that, I think, you get in the rhythm. They stop the full court press of courses on you. You have a little time to breathe until sixth quarter. I found my rhythm, and I think, I feel like I belong here and I belong with my peers. So, yeah.
So I also know that you are kind of the president of the Conscious Capitalism Club, which you have yourself brought onto the campus.
Yes.
Right. So I'll ask you a little more about that. Okay. But in general, apart from your own club, is there anything else on campus, other clubs or career services, executive connections, anything that is, you've taken most advantage of?
Okay. So So honestly, it's probably, I've been kind of a hermit when it comes to other activities. So maybe some of your listeners know now, but who knows, the future audience out there, if it's there, might not know, but my son was born about a year ago in December. So it's been pretty chaotic in the Green household. So most of the time that I had free, I would basically be coming, going back home and taking care of them. But there are definitely some things that have popped up on my purview that I want to participate in. I believe Luke's program. Or not the standout one. I mean, that I did participate in one of those events and was very informative. But the discussion board, the issue. Yes, yeah. I'm sorry. Sorry, Luke. The issue. That actually seemed extremely fascinating to me. I love intellectual, honest broker debate. And I do look forward to participating in the next upcoming one. And actually, I think maybe, hopefully, fingers crossed, one of the topics that I suggested was picked up. But, you know, we'll see.
All right. And when you came to the MBA, did you have a certain concentration in mind? Is that something you're doing right now, or have you changed that over time?
So honestly, I did not know what the hell I wanted to do. I mean, because my experience with the business world was pretty much nil at that point. Hell, I didn't even know. I was here for my interview for the program, and I didn't even know what supply chain management was. And then, you know, through discussion with my peers who are waiting for their interviews, talking about not only what it is, but that, you know, WP Carey is like one of the top global programs. I'm like, oh, shoot, I better learn something about that. But I did pick up supply chain management and business analytics as the concentrations going forward. I think of all the diverse programs that WP Carey has to offer, those were best suited for my continued career in the military. Things I can try and bring back and improve whatever position and that I'm in upcoming.
Okay. And you've taken a lot of courses. And yes. Do you have a favorite course that you've taken?
Oh, boy. Okay. Yeah. So I guess these are pretty common favorites. But my number one is going to be managerial accounting.
Nice.
Mainly because I just found it absolutely fascinating how an organization can be given the same exact data as maybe another organization, but just purely on their cost accounting methods can come to completely different, sometimes even fatal conclusions about business decision and practicing. So I love that course. I loved both of the decision modeling courses that I have participated in, mainly because it's this puzzle. It's just dealing with this puzzle. Trying to you know, create that linear programming to solve, and that the discovery is just fascinating for me. And then project management was definitely also another favorite. So I got four.
And how was your experience last year getting your internship? Just your strategy going in, and then what really happened?
So I am in a peculiar situation. Like most of you guys know, I'm active duty military, but we're returning to the military. And because of that, there are restrictions on internships. Mainly, I can't get paid. I thought that would be a very marketable thing to companies. Be like, hey, I'll come work for you. And you don't have to pay me, you know? But apparently, that's a harder sell than you would think. And there were some individuals in the past who were in similar programs like me, and they told me that, you know, it's not likely for you to get something like that. You probably have to work with the school, nonprofit. I wanted to prove them otherwise. So I did start in the beginning trying to actively seek, you know, supply chain type positions. Like when Johnson & Johnson came down, I think I had a good rapport. But again, it's just what I was asking them to do, I don't think they really could have done. So I ended up just focusing on nonprofits in the area. So I ended up working with Boys and Girls Club of the East Valley, which really was more of a data analysis kind of problem set. They recently were transitioning their databases to a more easily manageable CRM system. I think it's called GiveEffect, if I recall properly. And their previous system was Oracle-based, so if that gives you any kind of time stamp on how ancient this thing is. And really what the job did was made me realize the importance of proper management of inputs and data into your system, because there was a lot of garbage. There was a lot of inconsistencies on how data was inputted in there. A lot of information was left blank, and it just made it very difficult. I think of the, let's say, 24,000 entries they had in there, I think only about 7,000 were actually usable that can be transferred into the new system. So definitely gave me a respect for that field and managing data.
Okay. So are you going to go back to active duty?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So after I graduate, I have another school. It's ILE. It's a school for majors, so newly promoted majors. Mm-hmm. It is in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. My report date is in July. So wow. I will be departing here, heading out there, doing another year of school, and mm-hmm. then wherever the Army wants to send me.
What is this supposed to be? This is like... military school, and they teach you something about
so this is so this okay. is specifically a military school, and they are teaching you how to be really a senior staff officer. So as a major, you'll primarily be filling in corps level, division level, and even some brigade level staff positions, and where you really make your bread and butter is as a executive officer or an operations officer for a battalion and brigade. Mm-hmm. So it's really focused on a lot of military decision-making process. It's a very structured outlook on how you tackle a problem, analyze it, and then go through the process of making a operations order mm-hmm. based on that situation. I feel like primarily that is what's going
to
be focused on.
So what you've learned over here in supply chain and operations, you're going to be able to use?
I'd like to think. So I'm actually trying to make a pivot in the military itself. So again, I'm an armor officer, so that's combat arms. I am trying to transition into the acquisitions corps. I feel that with my past experience in the military and mainly my experience here in the MBA program, that would be a best fit. I would actually be able to utilize the majority of the skills that I have gained to hopefully better the military and the programs that they operate in. If I were to stay combat arms, I think the project management skill set that I learned, mainly resource management, that is something I feel like the military doesn't do too well. Not necessarily on supplies, but just on personnel and their time. Just understanding that dynamic and the limitation, because there's only so many hours in the day and so many soldiers you have. So that definitely brought light in the tool sets I can hopefully maybe implement at my levels.
All right. I mean, just transition into a little bit of getting to know you at a personal level.
Okay.
So what do you do in your leisure time? I hope you have some leisure time given you have a kid and you're doing all this curriculum work.
Yeah. Well, my son and my wife are my leisure time. I don't know. Is that work or is that play? I'm not too sure. But no, spending time with my son and my wife, going to the diverse selection of things that Phoenix area has. So like the Children's Museum, the libraries and stuff like that, just getting my son a lot of exposure and trying to spend time and play with him. Other than that, my wife and I are big in, we love to go out and we love to eat, eat good food, not necessarily expensive food, but good food. And the food scene in the Phoenix area is pretty amazing. I mean, we can have Cantonese, we can have Lebanese, we can have Korean, we can have Israeli. I mean, it's pretty diverse here, so we enjoy that. And so other than that, I am trying very poorly to play jazz piano.
Okay.
Very
something,
poorly.
Something new you picked up?
So I'm taking lessons. Okay. It's hard to find the time to practice consistently, but you know, whatever. Something that I've always wanted to do is play piano. I tried when I was younger, didn't really follow through with it. My parents didn't really force it on me, and it's been something I always regretted. So I saw this as an opportunity to learn.
Nice. So you talked a little bit about the food, given that you've tried so many different cuisines. Which is your favorite?
Oh, God.
Maybe the top three.
Oh, man. So I love Lebanese food. I love just the whole spice palette. Like the heavy garlic, the citrus. It's very filling, but it just always seems very refreshing. So I love that. Love Indian food. My favorite dish, I don't know, when I first had Indian food was when I was on a school trip for my undergrad in England.
Okay.
And had a, was it like chicken Ceylon?
Okay.
And I could never find that anywhere in the U.S. And I'm wondering why. And then like someone's telling me, well Ceylon's just another word for Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so maybe it's something that's just focused by the Sri Lankan community, I guess, in the UK. But it pains me that I can never find that dish. But I think those are pretty much my favorite type of cuisines.
All right. Do you watch a lot of movies? Do you have a favorite one?
Oh, man. So I don't watch too many nowadays, but I do have a few. I used to be a huge movie buff when mm-hmm. I was younger, like especially in high school. I would watch all the eccentric, you know, Criterion Collection kind of weird, like, you know, Man Bites Dog and and things like that. But two movies that I absolutely love that stick with me that I'll always enjoy watching is first, Once Upon a Time in the West, mm-hmm. which is Sergio Leone's, I believe it was post Good, Bad, the Ugly mm-hmm. series, the Man with No Name series. But I absolutely love that. It had Jane Fonda and Charles Bronson in it. Mm-hmm. And there was just specifically this scene in the movie that is recalled over the period until there's this big reveal pertaining to Jane Fonda and someone. I don't want to spoil it for you guys. But when that reveal came and just the panning shot of it and the music uptick, it just, I still remember the vivid feeling that I had of just like the absolute shock and awareness and just kind of the emotional pull that that had. And it stuck with me. So I think I also love it because Leone really utilize the landscape of the face. Mm. So Westerns are typically kind of infamous, or not infamous, but famous for its like large panoramic shots of the nature and the outdoors. And those are in there, but I feel like he kind of like played on that concept within the Western trope and used the texture and the visual of the human face mm. to really kind of like give kind of, I don't know, it's extremely close up, but it still gives that very grand and detailed feel that you'll get in landscaping. So that is one of my favorite. And then my other favorite, which kind of feels like on the complete opposite spectrum, is Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, yeah.
Versus the World?
Or? Yes.
Yeah, I think it's Versus the World. I don't know. The comic book has a different title or something. Mm-hmm. But I absolutely, I love Edgar Wright. Yep. So I love like almost all Edgar Wright movies. Okay. And I'm also a huge nerd, both comic book, anime, and video game nerd. So mm-hmm. the accumulation of the cultural references. But what I really loved about it is I feel, and I could be completely wrong, but I feel what Edgar Wright did was he took a different movie trope. Mm-hmm. He took the musical. Mm-hmm. I feel he took the construct of the musical and basically replaced song with elaborate kung fu video game fights, yeah. which if you think about it, both are just as equally ridiculous. Cause like who would believe at any time that, you know, you're walking down the street and all of a sudden, you know, 100 total strangers yeah. break into dance and song, choreographed dance and song. Mm. I mean, is that any more ridiculous than, you know, this scrawny Michael Cera, you know, doing like Street Fighter punching and stuff? And I mean, I don't know. It just,
gravity defying.
Yeah, I just loved it. Yeah, I absolutely loved
it's
it.
It's one of my favorite movies. Totally.
My wife hates it. Like, absolutely hates it with a passion.
She doesn't get it because you need to know all the video games to get all those references.
Yeah, she loves Edgar Wright too, but like, she told me like that is the worst movie you ever made me see.
All right. What about TV shows? Do you have any that?
All right. I loved The Expanse. I'm a late comer. Like, I think I started watching it when the second season was out, but I found it just absolutely mm-hmm. fascinating. And I'm so glad that Amazon is picking it up. I still don't know if they're continuing as a series or doing a movie, but I don't care. I just want more of it.
Yeah.
So I absolutely love that. There are a few shows that I can always just go back to. Like if I'm just stressed out, I just need to relax. I'll either throw on Seinfeld or I'll throw on Frasier. Hmm. And just, I don't know, maybe it has something to do with reminiscing, with nostalgia, things that were, it's probably has a lot of nostalgia, but you know, it's also really good writing.
Hmm.
Although I could nowadays do without the laugh track.
Yeah.
Very much.
Especially the new series, if you like just take the laugh track out,
it becomes
so boring.
So I actually really started getting into MASH lately.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I never watched it as a kid. I'd always see the intro and I'd change the channel. But that song, again, I think it had this nostalgic purpose and this like nostalgic effect on me. And I think also because I'm in the military, there's a lot of tropes that I understand now.
Mm.
But I love the show. It's fascinating. However, I hate the laugh track. It's horrible. And I hear that the laugh track was only used in the United States. So there are copies and versions of it out there that were like distributed in Europe and UK without the laugh track. And I want to find those ones. I want to listen to that. Not this crappy, you know, canned laughter stuff. But, you know.
All right. What about music? Who's your favorite artist? A genre of music?
Ooh. So I do like a wide spectrum of genre. However, probably my three favorite bands are going to be, number one, Murder by Death. Mm-hmm. I know that seems like very harsh and hardcore, but they're not. Mm-hmm. It's like a modern... it's hard to explain. So think of the way that Johnny Cash and his music kind of creates this alternate universe where it's kind of the old West, 1930s, Americana kind of construct. And, you know, it's always kind of very somber topics of, you know, people making bad decisions and whatnot and the repercussions of that. So they follow that by creating this world building through their music on that kind of similar sphere. And it has a very Melrose, melancholy kind of topics. And, you know, delves with concepts of like death and devil and the West and whatnot. But it's not necessarily depressing. It's great because they have a lot of their songs real upfeel, like uptick, kind of good beats. They have a celloist, which I had a crush on when I was like, you know, in my high school. But they're just an amazing band, and they're still playing and touring and producing. And they actually, I guess they frequent Phoenix like every year. So I was able to see them at the Crescent Ballroom, which great venue. Absolutely love it. Then my other two is RX Bandits. Mm-hmm. So they are a California ska band, but I like to think of them as like progressive ska because they play like maybe 5 minute, like 4 or 5 minute set songs, and they have a lot of dynamic and changes within the rhythm and styling within the music itself. And they could get a little political, and, you know, I don't necessarily agree with everything, but they're just a great band. And one of my greatest regrets is I've never seen them in concert because they put on amazing shows. And then finally Muse. I just love Muse. I don't know, something about it. I think their use of like synthetics and electronics within their music, and then playing that kind of big stage is, I don't know, I'm just very emotionally driven by it. So there we go.
What about books? Do you have a favorite book or author? Mm-hmm.
So I'm not a big reader. Mm-hmm. However, I did get into The Song of Fire and Ice, which is the proper title of the trilogy. Okay. So I'm sticking my nose up there. If any of you guys don't see it, being a little snobbish on that. So I absolutely loved it. And I mean, I started reading it after I watched like the first three seasons of Game of Thrones. And then I realized that the books are so much better, especially as the seasons go on in Game of Thrones, and that they remove a lot of the subplots and the nuances within the story.
They get rid of some of the characters.
And yeah, they do. And they amalgamize them. And like just what they did to Dorne and the Sand Snakes in not just kill them, but like there's this subplot of extreme complexity in the books about Dorne's role within Westeros and their play for the throne. And it was fascinating, and you know, a real strong dynamic female character was in it. Just interesting kind of complexity and how there's infighting within that kingdom itself that's trying to kind of gain control within the greater Westeros kingdom. And just all thrown out, absolutely thrown out and replaced with whatever trash we end up seeing on the screen. But I don't know. I don't even know if I want to watch the final season of Game of Thrones. I'm waiting for the next book, which, I don't know. Come on, man. Please don't die. Please get it out before you die. You're going to ruin everyone's, you know, day.
Yeah. So if you were to pick a person in history who you could have a chat with and get to know them better, who would that be?
Oh, jeez. Yeah, I heard that one. I heard this common question you have, and that one really made me think. And I don't know if I'm going to... My mind's going to be pretty... plebeian? I don't know. whatever that word is. I would actually love to talk with my uncle. Larry Green. He was a a architect, graduated from Cooper Union, which was a very prestigious and prominent university in New York. He worked on several projects on building construction in New York, but he had a surgery right before I was born. Mm-hmm. Which surgery went fine, but the blood transfusion he got, he contracted AIDS from that. Uh-oh. And then he passed away about, I'm going to say like 2 or 3 months after I was born. Mm-hmm. But growing up, I was always told that kind of my outlook, my philosophical outlook, and just always trying to understand kind of the greater things in life, like always reminded my grandparents and my father even of Uncle Larry. Mm-hmm. And so I would love to actually talk to him. I see photos of him, and he's this kind of like real tall guy in a black turtleneck and a Jewish afro and glasses, and just, you know, very beatnik, you know, intellectual looking, and just, you know, be a fascinating person to talk to. And I probably would debate him on a lot of things, and, you know, we'd probably both enjoy it. So
yeah, that's, yeah, hopefully, like, not a lot of people say anything about, like, the people they knew or they wish they knew. There would be someone from history, like,
yeah,
this is nice.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, honestly, I'm a weird person. Like, I really don't care about anyone else. You know, what are you going to talk? What are we going to talk about? I don't know.
What about pet peeves? Do you have any? Do you want to share? Man.
People being late.
Okay.
Absolutely hate it. I don't know if this is like a military thing. Like, I don't know. In my mind, you know, if you're not 15 minutes early, you're late. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I don't use that standard, you know, for other people, of civilians. But when people are showing up, you know, either on time exactly or, you know, minutes late after that, it kills me. Because we all have important things to do. And it's kind of disrespectful of other people's time, I feel like.
Okay. So you did talk a little bit about what your plans are after graduation. Mm-hmm. But what about 10 years from now? Where do you see yourself?
Probably retired from the military and starting my second career and starting planning my third career. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know exactly what I will do, but we'll see. Yeah.
Do you want to be in the Phoenix area, or do you want to be somewhere
specifically? I would absolutely love to come back here to Phoenix. Okay. It reminds me so much of Las Vegas without the things that I hate about Las Vegas. So it definitely would. You know, it gets a little hot. Just gets a little hot. I think my wife said if we end up living here, you know, we have to have like a little summer home or cottage or something up in, you know, Sedona or Flagstaff so they can escape the heat. But, you know, I like it here.
Do you have any advice for people who are trying to pursue their MBA or are coming to WP Carey and they're not ready for what's coming up next?
So just understand that the first semester is going to be rough. It just is. It's going to be very statistical and mathematic heavy. I mean, the whole MBA career for the most part is. So just, you know, refresh yourself if you had previous courses. If not, you know, I do think WP Carey still offers at least some material to help train you up. So please do that. Do the pre-work and just stick with it. And you guys will do fine. Also, just remember that WP Carey, I don't know if this is all business schools, but specifically here, a lot of the work is team-based. Mm-hmm. So it's you might be struggling, but there will be people out there who will help, who are, you know, help out the goodness of heart and incentivize, because, you know, their grade depends on it.
Or they struggle together.
Yeah, you know, everyone struggles together. Pick your team wisely. No, so there's a lot of team-based, in fact, very, very minimal individual workload. So also understanding that, you know, there'll be times where you'll need to step up and lead, but there'll also be times where you need to step back and follow. So I think a good leader is one who can judge and step up when needed and, you know, take a step back and allow others to lead the way and ensure that you are create cohesion. Make sure there's not too many chefs, you know?
Yeah, I was going to give you some time to just talk about your conscious capitalism effort, the school is going to be witnessing in the next few quarters.
Okay, yeah. So this is our inaugural semester, our end year of conscious capitalism. We have right now three events that we are going forth. So on March 1st, we will be doing our first workshop. It will be running from 8 to 10:30. And we'll be focusing on purpose, on higher purpose. So how do you define, take an existing company or organization and try and redefine it through creating that higher purpose. And we have been we're very grateful that we'll have Adam Goodman of Goodman's Interior Structures will be coming and telling his story and proposing a situation that he faced that we'll get a chance to tackle with.
So and it's then, like a case composition.
Yeah, so just think of it as like a mini case, a mini case. And then on the 29th, we have Matt Altman from Sportique, who will be coming down and talking about stakeholders, so stakeholder management. So kind of, again, giving some situations that he faced and allowing us to tackle these real-world problems. And then the capstone event that we are aiming for is on April 20th. Yes, it's a Saturday, but April 20th, we will be doing the inaugural case competition, which we have partnered with Televerde. So it will be a maybe a little more marketing focused of a competition, still working out the final details. We're hoping to have registration open up the beginning of March. Again, still trying to work out the details, but just keep your ears out for that. Our intention is for this not to be just an ASU thing, but we are going to reach out to Northern Arizona University, to Grand Canyon, and to Arizona University, or University of Arizona. Sorry. Sorry, kiddies. reach out to them and bring them in and see what they can produce with this very, very unique problem set for a company that I truly believe lives the conscious capitalism credo, Televerde.
Right. And if there's just one thing that you're the best at, that you think you're the best at, what would that be if you had to go market yourself to someone else?
Oh, God. I don't know. People say I'm good at presenting, I guess. Right. I don't know. I don't know. I guess that. I can engage. I like to think I can engage someone with passion. And I can try and kind of drive, conversation. And I'm pretty good at presenting things.
Nice.
Not good at anything else, though.
That's the most important thing, though. Whatever you want to communicate,
out
there.
Hey, it doesn't matter if you actually know what you're talking about. You just gotta make someone think you know what you're talking about. So,
and once you're done, how would you like your peers to remember you?
Oh man, wow! You really are throwing curveballs now. Genuine, just genuine. Like I'd like to think. I never try to be fake. I think it's almost a fault of mine to wear my emotions on my sleeve at all times. But just genuine. Genuinely want to help people. Genuinely want to, see other people succeed.
Right. That's pretty sweet.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Thank you.
And that brings us to the end of the episode. I just want to give you a chance to give out your email address or anywhere you're active on social media so that people can get in touch with you if they find you interesting.
All right, so if anyone wants to hit me up, can reach me at my email at jagree25@asu.edu. Also on LinkedIn and Facebook. And just hit us up.
All right. I want to thank you once again for being on the show.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks everyone for listening. Goodbye.
Jacob is a very fun-loving guy who speaks with a lot of passion. We all love having him in our program. Good luck to you with your Conscious Capitalism initiative for the school. To all our listeners, thank you very much for supporting us. We are available on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple iTunes, and all the other podcast platforms. I shall see you all in the next one. Goodbye and peace.